Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nick Ibarra podcast. If you're looking for a place to discuss finance, fitness, family, and life in general, then you've come to the right place. I am Nick Ibarra, your host. So, a couple of things that prompted today's discussion. And today's discussion is going to be about relationships, breakups, divorce, and touch a little bit on two home families where children are involved. To begin, I have a little bit of a background I want to explain. One, I've been divorced not once, but twice, and not anything I'm necessarily proud of, but, you know, life throws you fastballs and curveballs, and you take them as they come. I also believe that personally took twice of failure to get to that third one to find the person that I believe is right for me in my life. But nonetheless, so that's my background with that. And then professionally, yes, I am a personal trainer. I'm the owner and operator of IFT 180, a fitness and nutrition business that operates out of Springfield, Missouri. But also, I also have the profession of being a paralegal in a family law setting. I work for two attorneys who both focus primarily on family law. So family law, my definition of it is divorce and custody and paternity matters. And so I'm often faced with cases and clients and situations that are very hostile, that are very intense at times. You know, protection orders are not outside of the norm. Ex partes are not outside of the norm. Children being withheld from one parent by another parent are not outside of the norm. And very emotional clients are not outside of the norm. And so in the 400 cases or so that I've either been a part of, started or closed, or are currently a part of, I've learned a few things. And that's what I want to talk about today. The reality is that relationships are hard. Relationships are hard in the sense that you offer everything you have to somebody if you're doing it right. You offer your honesty. You offer your deepest, darkest thoughts, your deepest, brightest secrets. You know, everything that you have, you share with somebody down to the physical body that you that belongs to you. And so when we open up to that, we also open ourselves up to ridicule. We open ourselves up to criticism, and we open ourselves up to being hurt in the end. Whenever we get into relationships, we don't ever get into a relationship with the intent to get out of it. I think that if we're just dating around, we're not really in a relationship. And once we get into that relationship, I think the hope is to see where it'll go, to see if it's going to last, to see if it's going to be one of those forever things. And then when we get married, we've come to that decision that it is going to be a forever thing. And there are some people that don't believe in marriage. They believe in domestic partnerships or whatever you want to call it. But the idea is that you're going to spend the rest of your life with somebody. And so when those dreams or when those ideas or when those concepts of being with somebody for the rest of your life come to an end, the reality is it's a paradigm shift in your life. It's not something you wanted. It's not something you expected when the relationship started. And, you know, whether it's the end of a long-term relationship that did not involve marriage, or whether marriage was involved and you get divorced, the end of a relationship was once explained to me by one of the attorneys I work for as being similar to the birth of a child. And I think that some people hear that and say, well, what the fuck does that mean? And let's say that you're in a relationship with somebody for 13 years or 10 years or even 7 or 8 years, 5 years, whatever, some extended period of time. You have changed your life in a capacity that you are a new person, that what you expect, what you do, how you behave, how you react to situations, it's new. And so when you get out of that relationship that helped form who you are at the point in time of getting out of the relationship, there's a new life in a sense. There's a new situation that you're faced with dealing with, and a new situation in which you have to find yourself again. And so one of the things that I didn't do between my first and second marriage, and I did do between my second and third marriage, was spend time alone, was figure out who I was and figure out what it was I wanted in myself, what it was I enjoyed doing when nobody else was there to persuade me one way or the other to do something different. And to find out what it was that was important to me, what my core values were with regards to what I wanted in a relationship, what I required in a relationship, and what I was not willing to accept in a relationship. And I'm a pretty simple guy. Me personally, if you're a kind person, if you're faithful, and as long as you don't get in the way of my professional goals, and as long as you don't get in the way of my relationship with my children that are not of that relationship that I'm getting into, then I'm pretty easy to deal with. You know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. And obviously we have time together, but at the same time, it's not a big deal if you want to spend the day with friends, if you want to spend a day shopping, if you say, hey, I need a day to just clear my mind. You know, you want to do that shit? Go ahead. Not a big deal to me. But it took me that year to figure out that that is what is important to me, to be able to have that friendship, to be able to have that relationship, that intimacy, and at the same time be able to keep your individuality. If I hadn't had that year, I would not have done MMA for several months. I would not have found that, yes, through all of the things that have gone on in my life, my one passion that has remained from the beginning of adulthood to this very day, 20 years later, is fitness, is getting in the gym, putting up some weights and kicking ass and letting that be the start of my day. So what I always tell people when they come to me and say, Nick, you sound like a reasonable person who gives some sound advice. What do you suggest I do with regards to this relationship I'm getting out of? My very first thing is don't get in another fucking relationship right now, or for the next several months at minimum, and if possible, for the next year or two. Figure out who you are. Do you like going to the movies? Do you like going out to eat? Do you like going to the gym? Do you like sitting in your fucking underwear at 10 p.m. having cereal and watching Netflix? What is it that you like? Find it, enjoy it, and make sure that that is something that you're willing to enjoy by yourself with somebody else, or tell somebody else, hey, if you don't like this about me, you don't have to be involved in this particular part about me, but please don't get in my way. And so that's the first thing, is that if you're getting out of a relationship, don't jump into a new one, because all it's going to do is clout your mind in a situation where you're already not very logical and you're very emotionally driven. And that's one of the next things I want to touch on, is the idea that when we do get out of relationships, we are not very logical. We are very emotionally driven. Look, I've had I've had a close friend, a friend, and a friend of a friend recently get out of very serious relationships, long-term relationships. One of them a marriage, and the other two were domestic partnerships where the parties had been together at least 1 year in one situation and then about 7 years in another situation. First, you know, the first thing I think is, man, they're not going to be thinking straight, so you got to try and be that voice of reason if they come to you. And two out of the three did. My first piece of advice, find yourself. Spend some time alone. Focus on work. Focus on the kids. Focus on you as an individual. And I say that because when you get out of a relationship, I 100% mean that you're very illogical, you're very emotional. And the reality is that when a relationship ends, it's similar to the death of a loved one. And I think that in particular in divorce, but I think in a sense in long-term relationships, it is not as impacting, it's not as long-lasting, the hurt, the pain, the loss. But it's more intense because, see here, when we find out a loved one dies, a family or a friend passes away, there's that initial shock. But in my mind, beginning immediately after, you have to begin healing. And most people do begin healing. There comes the grief and then the acceptance and then the moving on, okay? Now, when you get out of a relationship, there is the grief. Then there comes the acceptance, and then there comes the moving on. But the grief involves resentment a lot of times. It involves hatred a lot of times. It involves feelings of betrayal a lot of times. It involves all types of emotions that are not present whenever we lose a loved one to death. And so we have to deal with not only the loss, but the feelings of resentment, the feelings of hatred, the feelings of not understanding how somebody could betray us in the way that they did. And so in my mind, in some aspects, the loss of a serious relationship is more intense and has a greater emotional impact than the loss of a loved one. Because the reality is the loss of a loved one, if you have a lifelong friend, one of you two are burying each other. If you have a husband or a wife, and or you have kids, or you're your parents, your brothers, your sisters, if you have relationships with them, one of you guys are burying each other. And you can be assured of that unless you guys pass away together. In a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a domestic partnership, that's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that you're going to break up. And the hope is that you don't break up. And so when you do break up, there are those feelings. And then the healing can't start until it's actually over. And so if you're in a two-year divorce or you're in a breakup where you have bills together and you have a home together and you still have to move out and there's things you have to communicate with each other about, the reality is that the healing doesn't even begin until all of that's taken over or taken care of. And so, you know, the reality is that you, if you're in a relationship that's not a marriage, you have to find those people that help you stay grounded, that you trust, knowing that you are not thinking very logically and that they can think logically to a certain extent. Because there is going to be an emotional involvement unless it's an attorney or unless it's a counselor. And if you have one of those two, then you have to trust them fully for the fact that they are the objective third party. But one of the things that I think is important to recognize about the way we react to breakups, the way we act to ends of relationships, whether it's because things simply didn't work out, whether it's because the other motherfucker's crazy as shit and you can't live another day with them, whether it's because of cheating, whether it's because of whatever the cause may be of the breakup. How you behave and how you react is going to have longer lasting effects on your life than it is on theirs, and it's going to have longer lasting effects than the emotional hurt that you feel. And what do I mean by that? Look, you end up going through a divorce and you start getting on social media acting a jackass, saying this person's a piece of shit, this person destroyed our family, this person did this, this person did that. Sure, you're gonna get a couple hundred likes, sure, you're gonna get a couple dozen, maybe a couple hundred comments of people supporting you, but I guarantee to you this: for every one person that is reacting in a positive way, there's 10 people watching you shaking their fucking head. And you think that I'm not being accurate in my numbers? Look, I'll be honest with you. When I went through my two divorces, my first divorce, it went pretty smooth, and it started off in a very hostile situation. Quite frankly, I made some huge mistakes, and I take blame for the end of that first marriage. But in the end, she and I both acted as civilly as possible. I think she probably acted a lot more civil than I did. And we got through it. The second divorce, the situation was very hostile. Police were called more than once. There were protection orders filed. There was shit talking on Facebook, on social media. And all of that shit was done by the opposite party and not me. I did have to call the police once, but that's another story in itself. But it was a crazy situation. It was absolutely nuts. But my point is that she would get on Facebook and talk shit on a regular basis. And you know, in the beginning, it bothered me. But looking back, you know, it was what it was. And being in family law, people say, well, they're talking shit and they're defaming me and they're doing, you know what? Fucking deal with it. It's part of it. It's just fucking part of the situation. Okay? And it's going to happen. But the reality is that the more she talks shit, the more of her personal friends, who I had very little connection with, would DM me, would send me messages, say, hey, I am so sorry that she's behaving this way. I don't know what's getting into her. I understand she's hurt. I understand the situation's horrible. I understand there's a baby involved, but she is acting out of line. And you know what? If you think that shit is unique to my situation, you're wrong, and you're dead wrong. And the reality is that People lose friends, people lose friendships, people lose relationships with people that they've had for a very long time because of the way they behave, out of spite, out of jealousy, out of anger, and out of hatred. And when we act that way, our friends and our parents and our brothers and our sisters and all those people are not affected near as much as the children involved when there are children involved. I cannot stress enough how many times I have seen children's emotional states be completely fucking destroyed by the petty ass games that one parent or another or both play in a situation. You know, when people act petty, you think your fucking kids don't see that? And if they're 5 or 6 or even 4, they may not know what's going on, but they know something's wrong. And I guarantee you they are impacted by it. And if they're 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, the older they get, the more they're going to have a way to put it all together and a way to process it. But in my mind, it affects them even more. You know, and here's my situation. Here's my example. My first divorce, I had a 10 and a 13-year-old when we got divorced. There are still issues that I personally deal with the relationship with my kids because of that divorce. Because they knew what was going on. They knew the situation. They understood it enough to be able to process and have opinions about it. And in my second divorce, my son was a year and a half, I think almost 2, whenever the divorce was finalized. He doesn't know. He's going to grow up understanding that mom lives in one place and dad lives in another. And as he gets older, he'll understand that we were in a relationship at one point in time, then we weren't, but it never really affected him. Why? Because generally speaking, me and his mother don't talk a bunch except for when it has to do with him. But we put on enough of a show to get along in front of each other. And anytime we do have disagreements, it's in texts. And so generally speaking, there's not yelling going on the phone. There's not phone calls being recorded. There's not shit talking done directly in front of the child. And so, you know, are we perfect about it? No. But do we try and shield him from it? Yes, we absolutely do. And what I'm saying is this, is if you can as best as possible, put your feelings aside for the sake of the children, you're going to have a better relationship with your children. If you can put the resentment and jealousy and all that stuff to the side and just say, look, I am going to focus on my kids. There is no better gift you can give to them through this process that's already going to be difficult, that's already going to be hard to comprehend, accept, and understand, okay? So, with all that being said, I want to come full circle. You know, we've talked about the breakups. We've talked about getting into a relationship thinking that it's going to last forever. We've talked about a lot of things this morning. Depending on when you're listening to this, maybe it's this afternoon or this evening, okay? But the reality is we have covered a lot of topics. But I think that there's a huge lesson to be learned in any relationship's end. And that is the lesson of the ability to forgive. I will tell you what, I have done things in my life, and for those of you who know me or my history, I've been in trouble with the law. I've been incarcerated. I've done things to innocent people who were very undeserving of what happened. I've done things to them that they'll never forget to the day they die. And do I regret it? Absolutely. There are things that I will never be able to take back. I've said sorry. I've asked for forgiveness. I believe that by the people who are important to me, I've been forgiven for the most part. But through all of those things, I have learned that there is no greater gift that we can give, not only to the people that we forgive, but to ourselves and our emotional stability and our ability to process and move on from situations. There's no greater gift that we can give than to be able to forgive. And I say that with the utmost sincerity. I don't think that there's any better character trait that somebody can have than to be able to simply forgive and move on. We don't forget things. We don't just let things slide. We don't say, well, they did it 5 times and I'll just keep forgiving. Sure, we actually do, but there has to be a point in time where we just walk away from a situation. But if we hold resentment, if we hold anger, if we hold animosity towards somebody, the only person we're really hurting in the end is ourselves. And so to conclude my talk today in this podcast. You know, when we get out of relationships that we were hopeful for, they hurt, it sucks, and I get it. But don't let that allow you to clout your judgment and do things you're going to regret in 5 years. Don't feel like you have to jump into a relationship because you have to be with somebody. And maybe this is my age talking, but what the fuck are you in a rush for, man? Enjoy your life. And when those right people come into your life that you may want to consider spending a little bit more time or being a little bit more intimate with, they'll come along. There's no rush. And these are all lessons I personally learned. And these are all lessons that I see happen in my everyday life as somebody in the family law field. But lastly, realize that the things we do today are going to impact not only those around us, but they're going to impact us and how people look at us for years and years to come. And so if we can start by saying, my goal in this entire process is to find a way to forgive the person who I am hurt by, we'll live a lot more happy life through the process that is unfortunately inevitable, and that's the breakup of a relationship that is not going to last. And in the end, people will look at us in a way in which we can hold our head high because we got through that situation with honor, dignity, and respect. And then, in the future, guaranteed, somebody's going to remember that and come to you when they need advice because they're in the same situation you're in. Ladies and gentlemen, truly appreciate you guys listening in. If you enjoy what you like, please review, subscribe, give me 5 stars, and can't wait to talk to you next week. Thanks.